Hello, I'm Henry.
And I'm Trey. And welcome to Marvelous, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast.
Where we go through the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe show by show, movie by movie, in order of release. And today, we are talking about Agent Carter, Season 1, Episodes 5 through 8. Yes, we are going to talk about the conclusion of Season 1.
Indeed we are. But first, we just wanted to remind everyone that our special on Deadpool 2 is out on Patreon. So if you want to support us and donate a dollar or more, it would really help us out.
And if you want to hear us do more specials on more non-MCU superhero movies, come follow us on Patreon, because we're going to do more, such as Spider-Man 1 and X-Men, the original.
So if you want to have a say in what we cover next, you should join Patreon and let us know.
Indeed.
So, Henry, tell me what happens in episodes 5 through 8.
All right, Trey, I can do that. In the last episode, it was revealed that Peggy's housemate, Dottie, is actually a trained spy in all manners of death and destruction. She is a master assassin. And we are also later introduced to Dr. Fenoff, a psychiatrist who has mastered the ability to hypnotize people. And both of them wish to steal Stark's inventions in order to get their revenge for the horrible things done with Stark's weapons during World War II. Can Peggy and the others stop them from fulfilling their dastardly plans? Find out this time on Agent Carter.
Yeah, so to be honest, I like this half of the season a lot more than the first half.
There's definitely a lot of really cool moments and a lot of really heartfelt scenes between the other male characters of just how a lot of men deal with coming home from war. But the hypnotism stuff kind of didn't sit right with me. It just seemed kind of weird. But we do know already from Winter Soldier and other stuff with Hydra that hypnotism works in this universe to a really high degree. But it's still kind of weird that it was such an important plot device.
I agree that the hypnotism felt a little off, especially since it was so strong to the point of men literally killing themselves.
Yeah.
And that it was able to happen so quickly. And like, he always starts with talking to them about their families, and then somehow that turns into them giving him all these weapons and stuff. And I really wish they'd shown more about how that works, because it really doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, like you get hints of him using his ring to make a sound somehow helping, and how he always tells them to focus and like, I need your focus.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's really, really fast.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that part. However, with the assumption that it works, I think that the second half of the season is strong apart from that. Like, aside from the logic of it working, I think the second half of the season is strong.
I agree, and it really starts off with a bang because we get straight into Russia, where we find Dr. Fenhoff, who appeared to be captured, but it seems that that was just a trap, and then they later bring him back to America. But in this whole Russia scene, we see where Black Widow was trained and how she was trained, and how Dottie was trained the same way.
Yes, but first I want to talk about Agent Carter actually convincing the Chief to let her go on this mission, because up till now, they've been incredibly unsupportive about her doing anything in the field, and she's had to do everything behind their backs. And I really like that in this moment, she pretty much gives them no option.
Yeah, like with her code-breaking skills, she just shows that she is irreplaceable on such a mission.
Yeah, and I love that even with such a strong lead-in, with decoding the typewriter message, clearly knowing all of the Russian context and language and area really well, and being someone who's essentially perfect for the mission, she argues to be put on the team, and they still are like, I can't let you go because blatant sexism. If I send you and you get hurt or anyone else gets hurt and a woman happens to be on the team, then it's going to come back on me for letting you go. And it's like, it doesn't even have to be her fault. It doesn't even have to be related to her. It's just putting a woman on the team. Can't happen.
Yeah, it's just like what we were saying in the last four episodes, how she's just such a badass and takes command of situations so well.
Yeah, because then she manages to say, well, what if I deliver the 107th, the troop that knows this area better than the Russians do? And he's like, I'd essentially have no choice, but that's not going to happen. And then she goes and immediately delivers them.
Yep, because Peggy Carter is a badass and gets what she wants.
Yep, so then they go to Russia.
Well, before that, we get the moment of Sousa seeing her birthmarks, which goes into her being arrested later on, but we'll talk about that later.
Indeed. So in Russia, we meet up with the Howling Commandos, and it is so nice to see them again with Dum Dum Dugan in the lead and all the other people that names don't really matter.
Yeah, they're really funny and joyous and fun.
And it's just fantastic to see the chemistry between them and Agent Carter and how they actually respect her, even though she's a woman. Like, it was really nice to watch that.
Yeah. And it was also really interesting to see all of this from Agent Thompson's perspective, since he had been kind of the leader of the resistance against her in the SSR office back in New York. And throughout this episode, you learn so much about him, about why he is the way he is and what war did to him. And it's really cool to see how he changes in this episode.
I completely agree, because before this, he's essentially just an asshole. And by the end of this episode, like, he freezes in the field. Agent Carter has to talk him out of it and, like, back him up. And then at the end, he comes clean to her and confides in her that he didn't actually do anything to win his award.
Yeah.
His actions weren't actually honorable. He ended up killing a bunch of soldiers who came in with a white flag, and he didn't realize they had the white flag until too late, and then he buried it so no one else could see. And he's been trying to confess that for a long time, and finally does to her.
Yeah, and it's just a good representation of the horrors of war and how really horrible things happen, and when you come home, it's really hard to talk about them because people might see you as a hero and see you as an icon rather than actually listen to what you have to say. Or like with Sousa, people might see you as this cripple who lost their limb in battle, and that's honorable, and they respect you for that, but nothing really beyond that. It's just, I really like how they treat war in this series.
I agree. And I also just really like that by the end of the episode, Jack tells Peggy that he owes her a bourbon and, like, takes her out for drinks with them in order to repay her for everything that happens in this episode.
Yeah.
But also, in the field, we learn about the child assassins that you mentioned, and they steal back a prisoner, aka the undercover Dr. Fenhoff, the leader of Leviathan in disguise, I guess.
Is he the leader of Leviathan? Honestly, I don't know what Leviathan is.
That's actually a question that crossed my mind as I just said it, because they made it seem like he was, but at the same time, there's only two of them.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I don't even think he's the leader of it. Like, I don't know what Leviathan is. They never made that clear.
Yeah, I don't know either. But anyways, they bring back that prisoner to the SSR for information and don't realize that he's evil and working against them.
Yeah.
At the same time that Sousa is questioning a witness and putting together the pieces that Agent Carter is actually the girl who's been working against them the whole time, and then tells the chief, and they all go to arrest her.
Going back a little, while they were in Russia, we also have Dottie going on a little adventure through Peggy's room, which first involved her stealing Peggy's key, which seems really weird because don't you think this super assassin girl could pick locks, like, really easily? Like, don't you think that'd be in her skill set? And then, when she does break into her room, she doesn't even, like, check behind a painting, which seems like such an obvious thing to do. I just don't even understand why they bothered with this.
I still have no problem with her hiding things behind the painting. I don't think it's obvious.
That seems like such an obvious thing to me.
Clearly, we have different opinions on this.
To be fair, maybe she was distracted because she did find the camera pen that Peggy got previously by Howard Stark that had pictures of all the items that she was looking for. And she wasn't looking for Steve Rogers' blood. She was looking for item 17.
Was she looking for item 17?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because that was the item that they used at the end of the season.
Yeah, but all of Stark's technology is currently in possession of the SSR, so I don't know why she would think it was in Peggy's room.
Yeah, that's a good point. None of this scene makes any sense. Like, why? Why did this happen?
Very unclear. And I think it... you're making me realize that the whole arc is kind of unclear, because I thought the guy at the beginning stole the weapons for Leviathan and then turned against them to sell them, but he was so scared of Leviathan coming after him that now I don't think that's what happened.
And I don't even think Fenoff is Leviathan. Like, I don't know what is happening anymore.
He's totally Leviathan.
No, I think he's part of Leviathan. I don't think he is the Leviathan.
But he's at least part of it.
Yeah, but, like, he clearly has his own motivations. Like, he just wants to get revenge against Stark.
Yeah, I'm realizing the actual overarching plot wasn't very well laid out for this season.
I feel like they had, like, a lot of good ideas. Like, oh, the government is against Howard Stark because his weapons are appearing all over. And then later on, someone uses one of the weapons to try to attack New York. But, like, the through line of how you connect those two was kind of not well done.
I agree. And maybe Dottie was just spying on Agent Carter because she was working against them, but so is the entire SSR. Maybe they just think Peggy is more reliable and is more of a nemesis. Like, I don't know. It's very unclear.
Yeah, I mean, she was, like, single-handedly taking out all the people that were handling Stark's tech in the first half of the season, but those people weren't Leviathan, so I don't know.
Well, one of them was.
I don't even know anymore.
The assassin who came after them and tried to kill her was Leviathan.
Oh, yeah. That guy that was using the typewriter.
Yep.
I forgot about him. They killed him off in, like, the first two episodes pretty fast, and they just took the typewriter, so I just forgot about him.
Yeah. I don't know. Moving on, I guess.
Yeah. We move on to episode 6, where Peggy has now proven herself to be invaluable to the rest of the SSR, and she has a hunch that there might be some kind of female Russian spy that was trained at that academy from the last episode that had infiltrated Stark's vault by having sexual encounters with him in the past. And the chief actually tells her to go on her hunch and look into it. And it's the first time she's really given a lot of freedom to be an agent.
Yes, I love it. And it's the first time that she's actually given a mission at all, like, allowed to be an agent at all. Before that, she was a glorified secretary. I mean, aside from the Russia instance.
Yeah, it's the first time back at home.
Indeed. So I like that all the guys that just seemed like douchebags in the first four episodes are now evolving to, like, start to give Peggy more credit and actually let her do things.
Yeah, and I also just really like that their backstories are really unraveled in these episodes too. Like, we got Thompson's in the last episode, and in these next few episodes we learn about the chief and how his wife cheated on him when he was away from war, and how all the respect he'd earned overseas meant nothing when he came back home. And it was cool to learn about these characters.
Indeed. Though unfortunately it doesn't last very long, since they realize that she's a traitor, or they think she's a traitor, and end up arresting her this episode.
Yeah.
But that was another really cool scene, was when the SSR surrounds the diner. They try to isolate her while Jarvis is there to arrest her. And then she takes out all of the officers, including the extra men and Jack, and then runs.
Yeah, it was really cool and impressive, but I don't really understand why she did it.
Yeah.
Like, she should have just went in and tried to explain it. Like, in the next episode, when she's held by the SSR and won't tell them anything, I don't really see any reason for her to hide this information anymore, because it's pretty clear that Howard Stark isn't a criminal anymore, and she could start to explain why she did what she did. Even if she'd be in trouble, she's better than just running away.
I agree, and I think that's why I feel like this could have been fleshed out with at least one more episode, if not two or three, is that I really wanted to see what Peggy would do when she was on the run, because she literally tells Thompson, you know that I have to do this. And I was like, we don't, though. Why do you have to do this?
Yeah, not clear at all.
And it would have been great if she had gone on the run and it was, like, shown why she needed to run in the first place. And also, it would have just been, like, incredibly suspenseful and cool to see her on the run and, like, doing things outside the law before getting back in.
Yes, but I feel like here's the problem. Peggy is way too competent. They'd never find her if she was on the run.
I disagree, because she has two forces working against her between the police and Dottie, and that's how she's caught in the first place.
True. Dottie using the sleep lipstick was a surprising, neat little scene.
Yeah.
kind of weird, to be honest.
It was weird. And then the cops walk in right before Dottie manages to kill Peggy and end up arresting Peggy instead. But also, they're not suspicious at all that Agent Carter is just like, oh, I'm just unconscious in the middle of my apartment.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't understand why they weren't way more suspicious. Like, I could understand them not thinking Dottie's a criminal since she looks like this frail, like, cute little blonde from Iowa. But, like, come on, guys. I thought you guys are a little smarter than this.
Yeah. But that was also a huge note of mine from the next episode was they start to question her and she just refuses to tell them anything when it's way worse by her not saying anything than the truth would be. And I don't understand that decision at all.
Yeah, and I have no idea why. And as soon as she explained everything, they believed her for the most part and trusted her and worked with her.
Exactly. So I don't understand.
Yeah, this didn't make any sense. I do think that the interrogation scenes were well done and interesting, like how they kept cutting back and forth between Sousa, Jack, and the chief all interviewing her and all of their different styles and how they feel about her, how Sousa kind of crushes on her and doesn't want to hurt her, and how Jack has this newfound deep respect for her. The chief also does, but not as much as Jack. And it's well done, except for the fact that it makes no sense.
I agree. But then when she does see the doctor signaling across the street about needing to evacuate within 90 minutes, she decides to come clean and does so and gives them Captain America's blood as like a sign of her loyalty. And then they start to actually look into what she's saying.
Yeah. And it's also interesting how the chief still falls victim to the therapist. And usually I'd be like, ugh, that's annoying. We already know that he's evil. You should, like, be way more wary. But we've already seen that Fenoff has been working his way into the chief's mind and actually, like, really helping him with his family life. And although it's sad that he's being manipulated and eventually dies because of it and lets Item 17 loose because of it, it's believable. It feels good. Like, I feel like this is a scene I'd usually hate, and I think it was done really well.
I agree. And it honestly just reminded me of Kilgrave because they couldn't let him speak without being mind controlled.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also funny how part of this is kickstarted by Jarvis coming to bring a false confession from Stark to come save her. And it's just such a silly, awkward rescue plan. And I just thought it was funny and worth mentioning because Peggy also ruins Jarvis's escape plan to reveal the truth to everyone that Fenhoff is evil.
Well, it wasn't much of an escape plan when it wasn't going to work.
It was going to work. That's why they believed her even more, because they were like, oh, she had no reason to tell us this because they would have escaped.
They weren't going to let her go without Howard in custody, and Howard was not coming.
Oh, I guess I remember that wrong.
Yeah, because at first Jarvis was trying to get away with it with just the signed piece of paper, and they're like, we're not going to trade her in for a piece of paper. We need Howard. And he's like, well, he's on his way. And then he's like, he wasn't, actually.
yes, now I remember. So one other weird thing about this episode, though, was that Fenoff planned to distract the SSR agent by putting the chief in this explosive vest. Which just seemed like a weird decision. Like, why did he have to kill him that way? I feel like his hypnosis can't make you kill yourself directly. Like, you have to actually make them die indirectly, like walking to a car or a vest. But it was still weird.
I think it makes sense when you think about how he would want to take as many SSR agents with him as possible.
Yeah, but did he know the vest was definitely going to be there? It seems like too much hinged on it. Like, what if they had disassembled it or something?
I'm assuming that if he hadn't seen the vest there, he would have done something else.
I guess so.
I don't know if there was something else explosive he could have used.
Yeah.
Especially since I think he said the evacuation plan before that, before he saw the vest.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was really sad by the chief's death.
Yeah, so was I. I really liked where they were developing his character and that he was starting to trust Peggy.
Same. And even though the other guy was so minor, the other guy that Dr. Fenoff hypnotized to kill himself the first time. I was sad for him too, because he was like so overlooked and he kept just getting no credit, no good jobs. And he's like, I just want to prove myself. And then he just walks in front of a car and dies. And I'm like, that poor guy.
Oh. Yeah, it was sad. I didn't really care that much about him, though, because he was brought in for just this episode. And then he was killed off, like, halfway through the episode. Like, he was just brought in as a throwawayable character and then thrown away.
He was, but at the same time, I feel like he was probably the most development that a throwaway character has gotten.
I guess so.
Like, we learned about his backstory. He talked to him about his personal issues, you know?
Yeah, you really get the feel for the guy.
And then Dooley jumps out the window when his vest is exploding to avoid anyone else getting hurt. And the episode ends with Dr. Fenoff and Dottie leaving a gas canister in a movie theater, which turns everyone into a violent, crazy person and ends in a massacre.
Indeed, everyone murders everyone! And that is what item 17 is.
Which leads into our last episode.
But first, I want to mention one more thing. In the very beginning of this episode, we see Fenoff hypnotize someone so deeply that he doesn't notice his legs being cut off. And that scene is hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to put it out there. That scene is crazy. And that's part of also why I think his powers are ridiculous. But that was a really interesting way to show how intense his powers are.
For sure.
But yes, on to the finale.
I really don't like the violent gas.
It's an interesting device. I think it's kind of a neat idea. Wasn't the original plan for Cap 3 going to be something like this?
The original plan for Cap 3 was like zombies or something.
I thought it was something like this kind of zombies. Like people are mind controlled into killing each other or something.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just very happy we did not get that movie and we got Civil War, which is cool.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I get the purpose of the gas and that they needed a weapon like that to make the stakes go higher, but something about the gas just makes it feel very Monster of the Week to me. Like, one of those items that S.H.I.E.L.D. is always dealing with in their episodic episodes, and that's what it felt like, even though it's part of a bigger plot, so I just don't like it.
Yeah, the scale got a little too big too fast, because, like, suddenly you're going to kill everyone in New York, when before we just had, like, minor espionage.
Yeah.
Though I like the idea of it, I think it's interesting, and I like its creation, how Howard Stark was trying to create something called Midnight Oil, which would keep people awake for days at a time when they're at war, and it failed, and it made people go crazy if used, so he scrapped it, essentially, but the government used it anyways in the Battle of Thanel, which is how they killed, like, an entire area of people without dropping a single soldier, which wraps up that mystery story, which I think is a cool way to wrap it up.
Speaking of Stark, he comes back and actually, like, turns himself into the SSR this episode to deal with the villain dude.
Yeah, and then they do that whole press conference thing to try to draw them out in the open, but instead Stark gets captured.
Because apparently Fenoff's whole plan is to get revenge on Stark by killing a bunch of Americans and making Stark feel guilty the way that Stark's invention killed his people.
I mean, it was more that he was going to make Stark be the one who killed a bunch of people. He wanted Stark to do it to make it even worse, because like Peggy said in the episode, Fenoff wanted to give Stark a pain worse than death.
Right, but they didn't originally have Howard Stark, so that wasn't their original plan.
I think it was, though. I think their plan was just to find him once they had the Midnight Oil.
I disagree, because there was that scene about them literally going into a place, and they're like, oh, Howard Stark's somewhere. Change of plans. An opportunity has arisen.
Oh. I just figured that meant they were, like, gonna do this here and now or something versus whatever they were gonna do before. But it was still something about Stark.
That's my interpretation, is that he was not included in their original plan.
Fair enough.
But one thing I wanted to touch on is that it's kind of interesting how this show just completely ignores, like, racist issues of the time, which happens only twice, because there's only two episodes, I think, that have a black character. But in this episode, there's a black cop that pulls over Dottie, and she's just, like, really sweet to him and talks him out of it. But the fact of the matter is that this is the 40s, where racism is rampant, and, like, a black person could not talk to a white person, like, a white woman like this.
Or at least they wouldn't be cops, I assume.
I'm assuming that they weren't allowed to be cops, yeah. And she wouldn't be nice to him. And, yeah, I don't think any of this would work. And also the same for the Howling Commando, who's just, like, hanging out in Russia and they're all fine with him.
I think the Howling Commando one is a different situation. Because, like, in war, like, kind of all men are equal in a sense. And the Howling Commandos are an exceptionally accepting group. That's why they accept Peggy as well.
Yes, but the men that come over to meet with them are not in war with him. It's just, like, a black dude meeting a bunch of cops that are white.
Fair enough. And I also think that at the end, there's a black prison guard when Fenoff is being put in jail.
I don't know if I noticed that one.
I don't know if he was black. I just don't think he was white.
I do think it's an interesting point just to know that they, like, they just completely ignore that whole part of the era. And it almost doesn't matter because all the characters are white, but then they bring in, like, occasional black cameos, and then it's just, like, they're just normal people. So, yeah. Racism doesn't exist, apparently.
Yeah, I definitely thought about that also. They're too busy dealing with sexism to deal with racism.
That seems to be a common theme.
Yeah, in all forms of media. I feel like you only deal with one at a time.
Unless you deal with more.
Yes, that is the exact situation of when you deal with more than one of those at the same time. Thank you, Trey, for that insightful point.
I don't know. A lot of people have complained about lack of intersectionality in shows that deal with feminism but aren't inclusive of people of other races and stuff like that. So I just thought that it's something that I should mention.
Fair enough.
Anyways, that black cop does get hypnotized later and is who drives Howard Stark away.
Yeah. You'd think, huh, two white guys were in that car before and you replace him with one black guy. You'd think they might notice that in this era.
Yeah.
I like how when Stark is being transported and they eventually pick up Dottie, he's just spending so much time trying to remember what name she gave him when she had slept with him to get access to the vault and such.
Yeah.
And find out more about it. And how, like, at the very end of the episode, he finally figures out it was Ida. And that was just funny to me. It was very Stark. Both Starks, to be like that.
It is funny and also incredibly eye-rolling.
Oh, yeah. He is
and painful because, God, what a misogynist. Anyways.
Yeah, he is not a good person. But it was still funny.
Which is funny you say that because Dr. Fenoff agrees with you because he tells Stark that he is a bad man.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of interesting how when Stark is flying off under hypnotic control from Fenoff to drop the midnight oil onto Times Square during the VE Day celebration, he's just convinced that he's going to save the only good thing he's ever done, which was making Captain America. And it's kind of like heartfelt and sad that that's the only thing he's really proud of in life. It's the only thing he knows that was good that he did, making Captain America. But it's also sweet to see how much he cares about him.
Yeah, and I feel like the show was just using that as a way for Peggy to tell herself to move on when she tells Howard to do it.
Oh, yes, totally. Like when she drops Captain America's blood off a bridge at the end.
Yes, but we'll get to that because I probably should have started with Peggy finds them and fights them and kicks Dottie's butt anyway.
Yeah, except where was Jack? Why didn't Jack and Peggy go together? There was no reason for him to be somewhere else, unless they, I guess, were searching separately.
Jack somehow ended up fighting the doctor while she fought Dottie, and I don't know why.
Dottie and the doctor were both in the same room. Dottie was protecting the doctor, and then the doctor escaped. So I don't understand how Thompson just got totally lost. Like, wouldn't he have at least heard Peggy fighting them?
I don't know.
It was weird.
I mean, he ended up fighting Fenhoff anyway, and then Sousa ended up knocking him out.
by pretending he didn't hear him.
Yeah, even though he would have to have heard him in order to point his gun at Thompson instead of him.
Yeah, like at just the right time. That was odd.
Yeah.
Also, it was really drawn out. That took a little too long to happen.
Yeah.
Because Sousa's just slowly limping over. It's like, all right, come on. Just do it.
Jarvis is also apparently the only person who can fly a plane, so he has to get in order to shoot Stark down in case Peggy can't talk him out of it. But fortunately, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Though it is really interesting to see Jarvis's reaction in this situation where he knows he's the only one that could stop Stark if Peggy can't, and it's heartbreaking to him since he's devoted his life to Stark, and he's never killed anyone before, and he's like such an innocent soul. And at the end, he's just so happy he never had to. And it just was a terrifying moment for him. And I really felt for him.
Indeed. Also, awkward though, that at the end, before this, Jarvis had said, it's what Stark would want. He would want me to shoot him down instead of killing an entire city. And then at the end, Howard's like, no, I would never want that. I would never want you to sacrifice me, even if it means saving an entire city. And I'm like, I get that this is funny, but really, is that really what you want to put out there for Howard Stark?
Yeah, like, is that a joke? I can't tell.
Like, are you telling us he is a bad man? Because that's not good.
Yeah.
But anyways, Dottie is gone when Agent Carter looks for her body. I don't remember if she comes back.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so that leaves it open for her to return. And then Agent Carter walks into the SSR at the end to cheers and clapping, which is nice praise for her, finally.
Indeed. But once the higher-ups in the government go to congratulate the SSR for their great deeds of rescuing New York City from this possible attack, they praise Jack instead of Peggy.
Yeah, and Jack doesn't correct him, even when the man says that Jack could get a congressional honor from this. And honestly, I really just don't buy that this is in Jack's character to do at this point.
Yeah, like when his whole thing about needing to confess that he got honored for something he basically did on accident in Japan was just like this thing that had been eating at his soul for so long. And then as soon as it's about to happen again, he just lets it happen again.
And on top of that, after growing to respect Peggy and give her credit, like, also doesn't give her that. Like, none of this really makes sense with his character growth, so I don't like that.
Yeah, it was odd.
And then Sousa is, like, insulted for her, but Peggy says that it doesn't bother her because she knows her own worth and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of her. And yes, I get it. I like the meaning the show is going for, it trying to instill in, like, its female viewers about their own worth. However, at the same time, considering this is in the 40s and women are incredibly overlooked, I would think she would need the recognition in order to start making a change.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
So I feel like it should have bothered her.
Yeah. Sousa also asks her out in this scene, and she just says another time, but she clearly is happy about it. And then we get a bunch of end scenes where Peggy and her waitress buddy move into one of the stock residences. And Jarvis is talking about how he's going to go back to his normal butler job, where he's like going to source all the spices and stuff as his next big project. But he clearly would love to help Peggy on another quest again.
Yeah, and then he gives Peggy Steve's blood, apparently without Howard's knowledge, because he told him that it got lost in the whole plane scenario, and says that she's the one person who would know what should be done with it.
Which was to destroy it.
Yeah, apparently.
Which was kind of interesting, because we also hear that Howard Stark destroyed everything that was in the vault, because no government could be trusted with these inventions, which is similar to Captain America 2. And this was one of those inventions, so maybe Howard Stark would have destroyed it, but probably not, because Captain America was his greatest invention, and he would never want to lose it.
Yeah, it also suggests that Peggy thinks there's more evil men in the world that would end up with the serum, if it did work out, than good men. So that's interesting.
True. I hadn't thought about that. And I just thought about another thing, is Why would Howard have kept the blood in the same vault as, like, his other random, like, failed experiments? Like, don't you think he would have kept this thing, his, like, most prized possession, in another location for just it?
I don't know. Like, it was in his strongest vault because it was the things he thought no one should possess ever. So maybe it belongs there because it's his strongest vault, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a fair point. And it's kind of interesting how, like, he views Captain America as, like, his greatest achievement and, like, the only good thing he's ever brought in the world. But later on in his life, he brings another great superhero into the world as his own son. So he's created Marvel's two greatest heroes, essentially.
I feel like we've said this before, but yeah.
Yeah, I think we did. Howard Stark, progenitor of epicness.
But then after everything, we get the end scene with Dr. Zola, because Fenoff gets brought into prison with some device on his head that prevents him from talking, only to find Arnim Zola essentially propositioning him for future plans of evil.
Indeed, which eventually leads to the events of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and I really thought this end scene was going to lead into the events of season 2, and I'm really sad that it didn't, and it has nothing to do with what happens in season 2.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty disappointing when season 2 came out. Also, one thing I was just confused by this entire season was, when does S.H.I.E.L.D. happen? Like, why is this the SSR? I thought Peggy Carter was going to be founding S.H.I.E.L.D. at the end, and then she doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it happens after the end of Agent Carter, because it's not shown. But we haven't seen it.
Yay!
And we never will. Well, woo! Well, maybe we will. But chances are low.
Yeah, it's not likely.
Anyways, Henry.
Yes?
What would you rate this season overall?
I haven't really put much thought into a rating yet, because the season has a lot of really good points. Peggy Carter and the other characters are super well done, but some of the story elements and the hypnotism just don't really work too well with me. So I'm like on the border of an A and B right now, but because of all the groundbreaking stuff that was done in this season, I think I'm going to give it an A. How about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Leading into this podcast, I was expecting to give it an unqualified A because I really like the show, and I think it does a lot of things well. I really enjoy the second half especially, and the first half has some good setup and character stuff. But as we talk in this episode, I realize how many flaws this show has, which makes my rating a little shaky, but I still think for enjoyment's sake, I'd need to give it an A.
Yeah, same here. It's definitely way better than I remembered, too.
Well, there you go. It's not better than I remembered. It is about the same.
Fair enough.
The first half I actually didn't find as good on rewatch as I did the first time, but the second half made up for it, so it works out overall.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I guess that wraps up our episode.
Indeed. Trey, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at MarvelousMCU. You can find us on Instagram at MarvelousMCUPodcast. Or you can send us an email at MarvelousMCUPodcast@gmail.com.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's iTunes or YouTube or Spotify, doesn't really matter. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Anything you can do to help support the podcast is a huge help to us.
Yes, and as we mentioned earlier, we're also on Patreon, so if you'd like to support us and help us not pay for this podcast out of pocket and get some patron exclusives like our Deadpool 2 episode, then please go to patreon.com and donate there.
Even as little as a dollar is really appreciated.
So thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for our episode on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, episodes 11 through 16.